any other time of the year. I love the Christmas time and the Christmas celebration. It's a great time. But have you been to town lately? And I guess y'all probably have. I don't like to go to town this time of the year. Everywhere you go, the people just can't hardly stir them. In fact, I even went to the doctor's office today, and it looked like a shopping mall in there, so many people. I reckon it's getting our last checkup for Christmas. I don't know what it was. But anyway, everywhere you go to eat something or it's a gas station or everywhere, it's crowded. People are on the move. Christmas celebration. But there's more separation than any other time of the year. Why? Why there's so much separation this time of the year? Because the world celebrates a season. Christians celebrates a Savior. So there's a lot of people that celebrate, and the difference between a season and a Savior. We know that Christmas for this year will be over after next Wednesday. And we know for the world it'll be over after next Wednesday. But you know, for Christians, it will never be over. It'll never be over. Thank you, Lord. As we celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior 2,000 years ago. But there's so many people in the world celebrating. And they'll be celebrating, and some of them be so drunk they won't know what they're celebrating. And know some people be just so depressed they won't have a good time. It's like the world this time of the year, especially in our country and other countries too, is just having just a great big old party. And the guests of honor have not been invited. As you think about that, the guests of honor had not been invited in our Christmas season. Two ladies were at a restaurant celebrating of a great occasion. The waitress was waiting on them, saw they was having a great celebration, and she asked what was the reason of their celebration, these two ladies. And one of them said, "Well, we celebrating the birthday of my baby." And she looked around and she said, "Well, I don't see no baby." She said, "Well, you don't think that we'd bring him to spoil the party, do you?" You know what? That's exactly the way it is with Jesus. The guest honor of this time of the year, and we don't want to invite him to our party because we don't want to spoil our party as the world goes. Tonight, and I'd like to read you some familiar verses, scriptures at this time of the year, and it's about the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. As we look at this verse 18, chapter 1 of Matthew, 18 on down to 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willingly to make her a public example, was minded to put her away really secretly. Nobody knew, privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth a first son, and he called his name Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this blessed, splendid time of the year. Lord, that we might celebrate and understand and look back what really the Christmas is all about. Lord, we know that really this was not your birth. This is just, Lord, your birth that you come as a man. Father, we know that you are God, and we just thank you for the all-knowing, loving, and powerful God that you are. But Father, you didn't have to come down to this earth and be born as a child and grow up, Lord, in this old weary world and die, Father, on the cross. But you did because you love us. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, in that way that you made, that we might be able to come in contact with a holy God because of what you've done on Calvary's cross. God, we'll never be able to repay you, Lord, the great gift that you have given us. Such amazing, God, what you've done for each one of us. The how that we can look and see all the great blessings, Lord, that stem from our salvation because of what you've done for us. All the ones on our prayer list and the ones in our prayer box and all our family members and loved ones this night, Lord, we just pray and thank you. Those lost of loved ones, especially, Lord, to be with them in a special way. Your presence might be known to them. God, we thank you here this night. In the loving name of Jesus, amen. As I say, you know, we're having a birthday party. And if you was to throw a birthday party or somebody was to throw a birthday party in your honor, and everybody got a gift but you at your birthday party. Everybody got a gift but you. In fact, you weren't even invited. In fact, your name wasn't even mentioned. Wonder how Jesus feels this time of the year on everything that's going on, the parties and things that happen, you know, and he's not even invited this Christmas season. Because mostly, you know, and even Christians today, our focus is not on the Savior, but I'll tell you, most of the time our focus is on ourselves. Our focus is on ourselves. You know, this time of the year, it is kind of a sad way in a way, because this time of the year, you know, Santa Claus beats out Jesus Christ. This time of year, you can go across this country and, you know, the tithes of most churches is down this time of the season of the year, you know, because Santa Claus comes first. And not only that, attendance is down. And it should be the greatest time and more attendance this time of year than any other time of year. But attendance is even down in most churches because of self-indulgence is what we do. We have really spoiled ourselves. I was looking at Fox News this past week, and it says in our country how much we spend on Christmas of our country. $600 billion. That's a lot of presents, isn't it? Of course, I guess they were talking about everything else, going and fat, traveling, everything. I don't know how they brought all that together, but Christmas saving, $600 billion. I'm going to tell you, that's more money than a lot of nations has for their whole budget for a year. And we spent that much just at this Christmas season. There's a lot of Christians spend more money at Christmas time than they give to the Lord all year long. Just this Christmas season. Now, all this is good. You know, I like the spending. I like the party. I like everything that's tied into Christmas. If we don't forget the real reason of Christmas. Like everything about it. Like the Christmas tree. Like the gifts. We like, you know, the food and the fellowship and just everything. But don't forget what the season is all about. The birth of Jesus Christ is so important. But not just his life, his death, his resurrection. The reason now that Jesus Christ could had such a unique life, and the reason he died in such a unique way, and because he had such a unique resurrection, because he had such a unique birth. It all stems back to his birth. So you see, the world is controlled by a cradle. The world controlled by a cradle. The birth of Jesus Christ, as you think about this, the first thing I looked at is, you know, as I read these verses of Scripture and give the family tree of Jesus Christ and everything, you know, the birth was controlled by the sovereignty of God. He said when and how, all the way through the Word of God, it was a set time. Verse 22, as I already read, now all this was done, all what was done, all the generosity, generation of Jesus Christ was given, Matthew was fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, said verse there 22, that Matthew gives. Because he gives a family tree of Jesus Christ all the way back to Abraham. Joseph is a foster father. And you see in Matthew, just like it is in Genesis, these begots and he begots and he begots. And man, several times I started out, I was going to read the Bible from cover to cover. And I'd always start out in Genesis. And I get to begot, and I forgot to start reading. We just quit. You know, I'm telling you what, you just can't hardly do it. And then people start a New Testament. They start in Matthew the same way, begots, and then you begot what you read, you know. But when you start studying the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what, some of the ripest and the sweetest spiritual fruit could be plucked from the branches of a family tree in the Bible. It is beautiful, and I study this. I'm not going to have time to bring it. I wish I could have time to bring it out about the family tree because it's so sweet. God said in said that the Messiah was going to come, and he had to be from a restricted line. And this reason, it's all given, the Bible, from restricted line. In Genesis chapter 3 and 15, it very first says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Very first, in the very first of Genesis, it's talking about the virgin birth. Talking about the virgin, that's the first sign we have in the Bible, is Genesis 3:15, about the virgin birth. Now, the Old Testament prophets and all the scholars of the Old Testament, they could not understand this scripture because it said the seed of a woman. Now, everybody knows that the seed of a woman, the seed comes from man, not a woman. But they could not understand this because, you see, you can't understand the Bible unless God reveals it to you. No wonder they couldn't understand it. God didn't reveal it to them. They couldn't understand what was happening. But he tells us, restricted line, the seed of a woman. Now, the seed of a woman without the help of a man. Matthew 1:16 says, and Jacob begot Joseph, of the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It didn't say he begot, it said he was called there. Joseph was a husband of Mary, but not the father of Jesus. Now we know that. There was some Jehovah Witnesses visited out my way, and they come up there in the back of the house of Craig's, and I said, I know who they was, because they usually travel. I'm not saying anything about black people, but there was a black woman and a white man, and I just knew who they was to start with, you know, because that's the way they usually travel. I said, hot dog, boy, and I took over there to see them. And you know what? I done all the talking. And they folded up their little trash, and they got on their car and left. I said, because y'all don't believe Jesus Christ is God. Oh, they believe the Bible. Yeah, we believe the King James. And I said, no, you don't, because you don't believe Jesus Christ is God. You don't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. You don't believe about the blood. You know what? They left. I wish I could have talked them into accepting Jesus Christ, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Now, they say they do, but understand there's a lot of religion today. They say the same thing we say. In fact, the Mormons are the same way, but they have a different dictionary than we do. The words they say is not the same as ours. Jesus Christ, the Church of Latter-day Saints. Sounds good, don't it? Except they don't believe in Jesus Christ like me and you believe in Jesus Christ. They believe he was a good man like Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe he was a prophet. They believe he was a good man. He was a good teacher, but he was not God. Now, they believe he'll become sons of God, as they say he's a son of God. They believe he will. They believe they'll become the sons of God, but they don't believe he is God. Where was I at? Anyway, the Old Testament prophets, they said, you know, they couldn't understand it. But he didn't come from Joseph, but through Mary. Now, see, Mary and Joseph, Matthew, if you read this beautiful line, Matthew gives us a line, goes from Joseph of the father's side, but Luke gives us a line all the way back to David from the mother's side, Mary. Joseph and Mary both were from the line of David. Y'all know that, don't you? They was both from the line of David. Only this person had to be perfectly qualified to be the Messiah. Jesus Christ was. Divine providence, the sovereignty of God, and everything that he said. The birth that was conceived through the Spirit of God. Verse 18 again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, two things it says there in 18 about Jesus Christ. One, he was not begotten by earthly father. And also, he was by the Holy Spirit, verse 19. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or very secretly. Why? Well, the Jewish marriage was different than what we think about marriage today. There were three stages, and a lot of it is still practiced today over there. One stage was the arrangement stage, and that was when the mother and father of both sides, they got together and chose the wife or husband for them to be together. In fact, the mother and father, they the one that chose who you're going to be married. Wouldn't that be a strange thing? Wouldn't you like to do that sometimes? Anyway, they chose this, and this was the arrangement stage. And then there was the engagement stage. It's kind of like whenever someone gets engaged, you know, you give your future wife a ring. It's kind of like that, but you know, but it was something like being real legal. It's a legal contract. The groom had to give the father a dowry, had to give him a down payment on it. Man, I could just see if I was going to offer my dad-in-law a down payment for Joyce. I'm telling you what. Anyway, that's what it was. He said, "You got a penny?" Okay, but that's what they done. They had this down payment dowry that they had to give, you know, that maybe, you know, you might give two cows or oxen. I don't know whatever they had to give, you know. And then if it was accepted by the father, you know, of the bride, then there was a signing, a legal ceremony, a legal signing, a contract. And then it's just like being married, but they did not come together there, you know, until after they was married. But it was like that whenever they was espoused, you know. It was like they had a legal contract during that time. But 18, verse 18 again, you see, during that time, 18, before they came together, she was found with a child. During that time then, you see, he found out, you know, that she was expecting. Now, Joseph had a problem. You know, at 19, what am I going to do? He's a just man, I'm put away privately. He didn't know who the father was at that time, but he knew that who the father wasn't, and knew he wasn't the father. But you see, he had a problem. Say, I'm going to put her away kind of privately and kind of secretly, nobody knew. Why? Because far as it was concerned at that time, for all he knew at that moment then, you know what? The penalty for adultery was stoning to death with stones. That's how serious it is, stoning to death with stones. So he was going to do this privately where nobody would know about it, where she wouldn't be stoned to death. But then, you know, it goes on. Verse 20 says now, but while he thought on these things, I'm going to do this privately, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now he knew. Now he is told by an angel. He didn't have to worry about that no more. Because she's going to bring forth a child, and it's of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us there's four ways that you get a body. There's four ways that you get a body. And the first way, without a man or without a woman, and that's Adam. He got a body without the help of a man and without the help of a woman, right? God made him out of the dust of the earth. And then the next, with a woman without help of a man. That was Eve. Just God just took the man rib. And then, with a man and a woman, and that's us's, if y'all didn't know. That's us's. But the fourth one, what is that? A woman without a man. And that's Jesus. So that's four ways that you get a body. Did y'all understand how y'all got y'all's body? Well, good, you learned something tonight. Good. You see, your eternal destiny hangs on whether or not you believe in the virgin birth. Your destiny hangs on whether you believe in the virgin birth. You cannot be a Christian and deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian. That's the reason I said the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and not just pick it on them, but a lot of people today do not believe in the virgin birth, and you cannot be saved if you deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, because Christianity hangs on the birth of Jesus Christ. The virgin birth, you see, if the virgin birth was not true to start with, you know, the scripture would be unreliable. If that was not true, the scripture would be unreliable. You couldn't believe the Bible because there's all so many prophesied Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know, there's a lot. You need to jot that scripture down if you don't know that. Isaiah 7:14, because I always, when I have these translation Bibles, I always go to that verse of scriptures. And you know what a lot of them do? They will leave out the virgin birth. The New Revised Standard says a young woman. The NIV, when it first came out, said a young woman. And they got so much problem with the NIV, they wouldn't sell. They changed that and put the virgin birth back in it and put the young girl down in the footnotes. Of course, there's a lot of problem with those two translations. But you need to look and see, because you see, if it's not, if it prophesied there's going to be a young woman, as it says there in that New Revised Standard, it just says a young woman. That's no miracle. He's prophesizing down the road that a Jewish woman, a young woman, is going to have a child. That's no miracle of God. Of course, all births are miracles, don't understand me. But you see, they're going to be millions and plus millions of young girls going to have a child. That takes away the miracle out of it. Just a young child. No miracle in a young girl with a child. That happens all the time. But the virgin birth was predicted in the Old Testament. You see, and the virgin birth was preached in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35 says, then said Mary unto the angels, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. If you reject the virgin birth, then the scriptures will have no reliability about them whatsoever. That's just that simple. But not only that, the Savior will be undependable. He'd be undependable as a Savior because he'd be illegitimate if he weren't a virgin birth. You know, Joseph had been the father. If Joseph had been the father, which those two people I called out, you, those Jehovah Witnesses, they believe in this stuff. If he had been the father, then he'd have been a child of Adam. And the bloodline always comes from the father, not the mother. But reject the virgin birth, and I'm going to tell you what, you have no Christianity. That's how simple it is. But not only that, you see, the salvation would be unretainable without the virgin birth. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, I'm going to tell you, and he was not the Son of God, then he wouldn't have been perfect. If he hadn't been perfect, he couldn't have been our sacrifice, because only God accepts perfect sacrifices. That's the reason nobody else could ever do that. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Hadn't been for this virgin birth, he'd have been a son of Adam, and he wouldn't have been perfect. And without him being perfect, he could not have been a sacrifice. And if that had been true, then you know what? Me and you would still be in our sins. We'd still be in our sins. No hope. No separation from God for all eternity. You know what? The destination of the world, I'm going to tell you, is bound up in the virgin birth, what we're celebrating this year. And then you see, birth is really confirmed in the Son of God. Boy, isn't that a blessing. First Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up into glory. I'm going to tell you, explanation of the virgin birth in the Bible, it don't tell you that, it just states it. It's up to you, believe it. Don't try to defend it, you just believe it. Luke chapter 1, 37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible. No one, as I said, can be saved unless they believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ." Now, I didn't say he had to understand it, because you don't understand it, and I don't understand it. But you got to believe in it. There's a different understanding and believing in it. I don't understand a lot of things. The mystery of that birth. It was a great mystery. And then we know that it was the majesty of that birth. In verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means, interpreted as, God with us. God with us when Jesus come. So you know, one of these days, oh, he's with us right now, but you know, one of these days that we can go to be with him. He come to be with us, that we one of these days can go to be with him. Boy, ain't that great? He's coming after us. I thought a lot to add to this. I said, no, I'm going to cut it short. I'm going to cut it short tonight. I'm going to cut it short. The mystery of his birth, verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." There's a lot I can say about that. See, verse 21, 23 calls him Emmanuel. Verse 21 says, calls him Jesus. Well, Emmanuel, as we think about that, refers to his person. He, God with us. But Jesus refers to his purpose. What did he come for? He came to save his people from their sins. And whenever I read that today, then it hit me, you know, because you see, whenever we're saved from our sin, or we say from sin, that's one time, you see, because that one sin. You see, there's only one sin that anybody ever goes to hell for, just one sin. Just one sin. One sin. That's the only reason anybody's in hell right now, just for one sin. What in the world did they do? They didn't believe. Unbelief. Isn't that awful simple? Not believing. Not all the things they've done wrong. Have you ever done anything wrong? Wouldn't that be something? But it said he come to save us from our sins. S, plural. You know what? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because I'm going to quit. You don't believe I'm going to quit. But anyway, that means justification. As I said, you know what? I have been saved and I'm being saved and I'm going to be saved. I'm being saved right now because, you know what? He came to save me from my sin every day. Man, was that sweet to think about that. Whew. Every day, every minute, every month, every year, he come to save me from my sins. You reckon if we didn't do what we were supposed to do, how mean you reckon we'd be? If we didn't come to church and you didn't read and you didn't pray and you didn't do what, how mean would you be? Did you know what? You'd get meaner. Did y'all know you'd get meaner? You get more sinful. He come to save us from our sin. People said, man, listen, y'all Baptists believe that once saved, always saved. And if I believe that, I go sin all I want to. Don't you sin all y'all want to? Don't y'all sin all y'all want to? I sin more than I want to. You know, I believe I sin more after I got saved than I did before I got saved. That don't sound possible to do it. Well, I don't believe it did, but I don't believe I was aware of my sin before I was saved. And the Lord made me aware of my sin after I was saved, and I sin a whole lot more than I want to. Well, he came to save us from our sin. That's the reason he came, Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his purpose, his reason. He came to perform the ministry of salvation. He came to perform the ministry of justification. Remember, salvation, he brought that. That's his ministry, the salvation on the cross of Calvary. And then justification, you see, because God won't accept anybody unless they jest and they're righteous. Everybody saved here tonight. Well, if you are, did you know what? You are a jest person. Did you know you are a righteous person? I thought you just said you sinned a while ago. Yeah, but God don't see you in your sin. He sees you in Jesus Christ. He can't see through that blood. Whew. Justification. Man, I like going this. You know what? Then I already explained sanctification. He comes for ministry of sanctification. Jesus' birthday. Every day. You know what? I got to thinking about this. Every year we celebrate Jesus' birthday, but he don't never get a bit older. Y'all ever thought about that? Nancy, you ain't ever thought about that. He don't never get older, does he? How many birthdays have we celebrated? Over 2,000 years, he hadn't got a bit older. Do you believe that everybody ought to have a gift on their birthday? Say this, see, everybody, because my birthday's coming up in July. Everybody ought to have a gift on their birthday. Do you believe that Jesus Christ should have a gift on his birthday? A gift maybe he's never had before. And a gift that would make him happy. You know what that would be? From you and from me. If we could give him, as Brother Ray sings, if we could give him every room in our heart, don't leave out one, but if we could give Jesus Christ every room in our heart for this Christmas, that gift would make Jesus Christ happy. That's what he's looking for. Give him your heart, all them rooms. I look out here tonight and I say, you know, I bet you there's some rooms and hearts of us, our people, because I know this person's heart more than I do anybody else's. God knows everybody's heart. Sometimes there's some room in my heart that I don't want to give God. Would you be honest and say that, you know, a lot of times you're the same way? You can say that by truth or you can lie about either one. But it's the truth, isn't it? And that's what he's asking this Christian season. If you got us a song, you put on there, Brother Barry, for just a moment, have a sight of prayer. But you know, if you would give Jesus Christ, me too, we give a lot of gifts this Christmas, and I know that you have. But that special gift is his birthday, is his party, and if you would just give him that gift to make him happy. And would we dare say he's never received that gift before? He's never received that gift before. As we sit here, and that is to give him all the room of our heart. That would make him happy to know that you give him every room of your heart. You know, a lot of times I'll give him them rooms of my heart and I'll run and take the keys back away from him and lock them doors. Say, Gord, you go this door here and you go that door there and you go that, but you leave that other door alone. I wonder why preachers always knew about that when I was sitting out there. And I wonder why they always knew that stuff. They was reading my mail. They knew all about me. But I didn't know that everybody's in the same boat. And they just tell it like it is, just a normal human being. Fallen nature of sin from my father Adam. But we inherited that new life from Jesus Christ. And really, it's an exchange life. It's an exchange life. I changed my old life for the new life that Jesus Christ gave me. Because you can't make that old nature any better. It ain't going to be no good. God said, I love it so much, it's going to go back to the dust of the earth. I'm going to hush, Brother Barry. You got something to put on? It'll bow our heads. It's silent for just a moment. It's like for you to...